Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, time to talk college football. We heard that P.J. wouldn't be available. He wanted to spend Easter with his family. Totally understand that. And the first person I wanted to call was Glenn Mason, because it's always so much fun to talk college football with Glenn Mason. Glenn, the very first of the predictions reports are starting to come out, and ESPN, at least a branch of ESPN, going out on a limb and says Minnesota, the candidate of choice to win the Big Ten West. Your reaction?
Well, I don't know if I would go that far, but I've said a number of times that you know, a year ago we thought that the Big Ten would be the wild, wild East, and I think this year will be a wild, wild West in the West Division, and most assuredly, you know, I think Minnesota is going to be, you know, right in there. The way they finished last year, the number of players that they have coming back, the youth movement has been very beneficial to them. So I don't know who I would pick. So I'm not trying to say that I don't think that Minnesota will win it. But right now, I don't know who I would pick to win the West in the Big Ten.
You do got to take a good peek at Nebraska, don't you, with that quarterback?
Yeah, I think Adrian Martinez is exceptional. I think he's a guy, before it's all said and done out in Lincoln, his name will be mentioned in Heisman Trophy type conversations as long as they continue to win. I don't think the problem is going to be on offense there. It's defense, Mike, and I've been quite critical of that so-called blackshirt defense for years because I remember when it really was a blackshirt defense. But if they shore up that defense in Lincoln, I think they'll be a force to be contended with.
Glenn, going back to the Gophers for just a minute, they showed a kind of a fun wrinkle in the spring game at the right time for it. It's first and goal, or I don't know if it's first and goal, but it was something, a goal from the six-yard line. All of a sudden, Fa'alele is in there running back, and three guys hit him and bounce off as he goes into the end zone. They've already got Seth Green in the Wildcat. Do you think that's something that they will keep in their back pocket for during the year?
Well, it might be. Let's not forget, you know, for the people that they're old enough to remember when the Chicago Bears were going to the Super Bowl, they put the William Refrigerator Perry, you know, back there. And in certain situations, it, you know, it was really hard to handle. So, you know, what does he weigh, 400 pounds or something like that?
Yeah, 400 pounds.
Yeah, it's, I'm an old linebacker. You hate to tackle a running back that's 200 pounds, let alone 400 pounds.
Glenn, Mike, let me jump in here. It made me think of something, and I know you can fill in the blank. I've just got the fragment of a play in my mind, but did Cupido double-cross you or somebody? I was thinking of a goal line situation, and I think it might have been a keeper. Cupido took it into the end zone, and everybody in the – I just don't remember the details, but it sticks in the back of my mind.
Well, I'm not sure exactly what you're talking about. I remember that I'm not exactly sure of the year. I think it might have been 2005 when we played Purdue. It came and we decided to go for it on the goal line. On fourth and one or fourth and two, and we called an option play. The thing about it was, that was always funny, was we sent the play in, and Cupido told the guys in the huddle, "You're not going to believe this one, fellas."
that was it.
So that might have been it.
Coach, we got the draft coming up. When you're a head college coach, what kind of questions does the NFL ask you about your personnel? Is it a lot about their ability? Is it more about character? What's that like for a head coach in college?
Well, Mike, you know that they test these guys. They retest them. They do all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm not really sure about what a, you know, 40-yard dash time tells a guy, a coach in the National Football League, that watch an endless amount of film when he's playing football with a headgear on and carrying a football doesn't tell him. But I could always tell when a team was really interested in drafting one of my players because they got the other stuff. You know, what kind of team player was he? Uns- selfish? Did he play through injuries? Could you count on him? Did he go to class? Did you ever have any problems with him? Were there any drug issues? Tell me about his family life. You know, all those type of things. I really thought that when they wanted to sit down in my office and spend some time with me talking about a particular player, to get to the nitty-gritty, the things that they couldn't get in timing in a 40-yard dash and watching on film, I thought they'd be very interested. I remember I fielded a phone call one day on draft day from Bill Parcells. And Bill called me up and said, hey, he said, I got a couple questions to ask you real quick. He says, we're getting ready. We want to draft a guy that we could be a second team back that could carry the ball about 8 plays a game, that's tough, that's reliable, and could be a good special teams player. And he says, would you endorse Marion Barber? And I said, absolutely, without a question. And he said, thank you, hung up. And, I mean, literally 30 seconds later, they drafted Marion Barber.
Well, that worked out pretty well for him. He became more than a second team back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a good draft. And then, you know, the thing about it was later on when he was having some success down there, Bill Parcells mentioned to the press down there, because I got a number of calls, he said, you know, they asked him, what did you see in Marion Barber? And he said, I went on the recommendation of my good friend, Glenn Mason. I'm not sure I was ever a good friend of Bill Parcells, but I appreciated him saying that.
You know, Glenn, earlier Mike and I were talking a little bit about the upcoming draft, and Blake Cashman's stock is going up. And one of the things that people have said about Cashman is they like his athleticism and the fact that he was really a good basketball player. Did you, when you were scouting and going on the road, did you see some of your players play other sports, and do you feel you learned much from that?
Absolutely, Dave. First of all, I like to recruit guys that were gym rats that played a lot of different sports. And, you know, in this day and age with early commitments and all that kind of stuff, when I first got involved in coaching, a large part of my assistant coaching career, you didn't make those early decisions. Heck, most of the time you're waiting after a guy's senior year. Sometimes you're waiting into January before you ultimately were offering a guy a scholarship. And a lot of times, depending on the difference with going on a guy or not going on a guy, was how he played in basketball or what kind of wrestler he was, or, you know, those type of things. So I thought that was very important.
What's the hardest position to project in college and professional, and is it the same in terms of what you see versus not knowing and the uncertainty of what they're going to become?
A great question, Mike. I always thought that and I think it's a difference. You know, first of all, I think when you're trying to recruit guys to play offense or defensive line at this level, when you look at them in high school, it's tough because the size and the strength and the speed that you need to play at this level, all too often these guys are playing against high school guys are far inferior to them. You know, a lot of times you'll have an offensive line. I'll give you an example, the kid that's going to Notre Dame, Quinn Carroll, from Eden Prairie. What does he weigh, 300 pounds?
Yeah,
most of the time he's probably blocking a defensive lineman that might weigh 180. You know, yeah. He's not going to face any 180-pound lineman when he gets to Notre Dame. You know, same thing, with defense alignment. You look at a guy and you think, well, how is he going to play? Well, he's not going against 300-pound offensive lineman. He's going against 200-pound centers, if you get my drift. I've always thought when you go to the next level for pro football, which I've never been there, how do you evaluate quarterbacks? Most of the really good quarterbacks come from good teams in college, and when you watch them play, they hardly ever get hit, you know, because their supporting cast is so good. Now you go to the next level when they go to play pro football. I don't, almost without exception, those quarterbacks, because of the ability of the defensive line and defenses, those quarterbacks, when they go to throw the ball, are always under duress. So you're looking at evaluating guys in college that are not being pressured very much, and you're trying to put them in a situation where they're going to be under pressure all the time.
Glenn Mason, good stuff as always. I don't think we ever have you on when you don't learn something about the game of football. That's what makes it so much fun when we give you a call and you say, sure, I'd be happy to go on. Sid is not here this morning, a little bit under the weather. We'll get a Murray certificate. We'll get it in the mail to you next week. Thanks so much. Happy Easter.
I'll be on with you guys anytime you want.
Thanks, Coach.
We look forward to it. We get great feedback on our text line, too. So it's not just us who appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, that's Glenn Mason. Back with more right after this. Sports Huddle, Dave and Mike. All right, we are back. We'll take phone calls and text messages in our final segment. That means you should call us right now if you want to get on. 651-989-9226. That's 9226. Mike, you've got a special guest.
Yeah, Matthew Hurt, Mr. Basketball in Minnesota, made his decision and waited late, and there was a reason for that. He wanted to see, I guess when you can go anywhere you want to go, you wait and see where the best opportunity is, and that included seeing who comes back and who stays. And Matthew, you decided on Duke. Take us through it. What was it like to go through the process of all that recruiting?
Yeah, it was great. My mindset was just to look at the game days, kind of routines that all the colleges do, what they do pregame, after game, how they prep for each game. So, you know, that was big on my list to try to make a decision. So I think just seeing those really helped me make an understanding of each college. So I thought it was great.
Matthew, how big an influence was the decision of Trey Jones to return at point guard for Duke?
Yeah, it was a big influence for me because I thought that was the icebreaker, that, you know, if he stayed another year, which was up in the air because, you know, he could have gotten like late first round or wherever he was projected to be, but, you know, he decided to come back at Duke, and I thought that was just the icebreaker, and right when he announced it, I knew I wanted to go to Duke because just the way he plays offensively and defensively could really impact my game as well.
You're talking to your dad, who coached you as well at in the summer team and everything else, and your brother coached the Gophers. You get a sister. Your sister's quite a player too, as a freshman, huh?
Yeah, she's pretty good. I mean, she's gonna be a sophomore next year. So their high school team was pretty young this year. So I think next year they'll take a even bigger step. So I'm just excited to see where she goes in her basketball career as well.
But your dad said going on those recruiting trips was, what was fascinating was you can go to the homes of these coaches and you see a lot of pretty cool houses. What is that like to be in the home of Mike Krzyzewski or Bill Self or you name it, you had your choice, Roy Williams. What's that like for you and what was that like to experience?
Yeah, it was great. All their houses are big. They have pools. I think one of them has a mini or a basketball court in the backyard, you know. Most of all of them have movie theaters, so just being with them, just knowing the history of all of them is great. It makes the experience a lot more better. Just knowing that I'm in Coach K's house right now, it just makes me feel that pretty good.
Matthew, as recently as 5 years ago, I used to see guys recruited by position. They'd say, we're recruiting him as a four. We're recruiting him as a three. This guy, more and more now, you're hearing this guy's a ball player. And some of those traditional roles have diminished somewhat. And they're just trying to get five guys on the floor who can play together. Throughout your recruiting, did you feel you were torn one way or another on that?
Yeah, you know, all the coaches, you know, really say positionless basketball. And they think they could see me being a positionless basketball player because, you know, I think defending, you know, one through five, you know, is really, really tough to guard. But I think if you can do that, you know, you can be a positionless basketball player. So I think just knowing that, you know, that he was going to use me all over the court, it just made me want to even more to get in the season already. So, you know, I'm just excited.
Well, Matthew, we appreciate your time very much, and good luck next year. We'll be following the Minnesota connection to the Blue Devils.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, it's Matthew Hurt. Now, I'll give the phone numbers one more time. We're coming back for our last segment. Be your phone calls. We've got some really good text messages. We'll try to mix them together. Right now, phone lines are open. Your job, fill them. 651-989-9226. Back after this, Sports Huddle. Sid, Dave, and Mike. Well, even though Sid's not here with us this morning, a little bit under the weather, we certainly didn't want to end without Frank Sinatra. When I say end, I just want to make sure people understand we're giving away to Twins Broadcasting in 6.5 minutes for right now. They've got the early game in Baltimore. This will happen a couple of times during the baseball season. The show only an hour and a half long today. We thank our callers and our texters. And, Mike, I got a whole bunch of text messages here. The very subject. One is, what do we see for the Twins when Sano comes back?
Well, yeah. Jim caught hit. I don't know if you, did you see the play that Gonzalez made yesterday?
Oh, I sure did.
Down the line.
Holy smokes!
I mean, you want to be a big leaguer? Go try. There's the standard, man. He took the ball going the other way, stopped, and you know normally they bounce.
Planted.
And normally they bounce it beyond the pitcher's mound now, and he just threw a rocket.
Overhand, never higher than head high, yep. Never lower.
And I talked to him last week, and he thought that his problems hitting offensively was the weather. He said, I just got to tell you, this cold weather I never had in Houston, and it's bothered me a lot. So he may be heating up here a little bit. But to the point, he could never have too many, you know, in 162-game season. If Sano's ready to go, you find a spot for him. Now, obviously, DH is going to be hard to come by because Nelson Cruz looks like he's the real deal. And you talk to that guy, as I did last week in the clubhouse, he's got a quiet confidence about himself, and he is – what you want. So Sano might have to earn some at-bats, but usually it plays out because, you know, if somebody else gets injured in the outfield, you might put Gonzalez out there, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, as long as they don't put Sano back in right field. I think we saw enough.
Yeah, I think we saw that experiment, yeah.
I think bringing Sano back is going to be terrific for the Twins. They could put an offensive team on the field. I mean, look at some of the guys that were – look at Garver and his comfort and the way he looks, that stroke of his. He looks like a major league hitter.
Yeah, and he's had a terrific – they batted him leadoff the other day. He's got a real kind of cockiness, confidence about him. So if you get some starting pitching, if Perez is, you know, what you thought he might be, Barrios is, you know, he's getting there. The only problem they had last week, you know, they played 27 innings, or they played 36 innings against Toronto and probably outplayed them in 32, but they had three bad innings.
Yeah, the pitching was just so atrocious with those guys.
But it was a one-inning blow-up always.
Yeah,
you know?
All right, so much for that question. St. Thomas situation, guys. You guys are the flagship of St. Thomas. What's happening with St. Thomas and the MIAC?
Well, they had the presidents met and they didn't do anything. I wonder, David.
I don't think they had the votes.
Either they didn't have the votes or they just wanted to make a statement that said, we're watching this, you know, and we're aware of it. I don't see that going anywhere soon. They could go into the NSIC fairly easily and comfortably and probably do that. But, yeah, the things that people don't understand is if it's an enrollment-driven league and there's no scholarships, you can leave in the playing fields. Duke can win in basketball. They don't have to have a big enrollment, right? But in the MIAC, it's driven by numbers. And if the people that get the most, you know, Eden Prairie is going to beat Fridley in football. Well, Eden Prairie better because they got a ton more football players to pick from. That's what they're talking about in this league. But on the other hand, there are teams in the MIAC that got to go, you know what, what could we do better? It's not just about St. Thomas. What are we doing that we could do better?
Yeah, it's been interesting because some of the players for those teams said, hey, we'd love to have those facilities. And, you know, we like to have them in the league because we'd like the chance to beat them from time to time. Here's the next text message, kind of interesting. Did you guys find it interesting that the commissioner of the soccer league came to town and said, maybe could have built a few more seats over here at this facility. I thought that was, all along I wondered when they were drawing 24, an average of 24 at the University of Minnesota, maybe it was the plat of land and there's a reason, but it does seem like there's more fans than there are seats.
It's interesting because I had Mike Nowakowski on the other day and we were talking about college basketball. Obviously the Gophers didn't do themselves big favors with the season ticket package they came out with and then raising the seat license. And he says right now the arenas are too big for the teams. In this town in general. Not all teams, not the Vikings, not the Wild, but the Timberwolves and the Gophers. And so I'd still rather have a high-demand ticket, do with the Gopher volleyball, and, you know, make it a tough ticket.
Scarcity. The advanced people in politics learned that a long time ago. All right, I want to thank our guests today. We're done. Scott Sandlin did a great job. Jim Cott, we can listen to him all the time. Glenn Mason, Matthew Hunt. Sid, we hope to be back with us next week. You've been listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.